title of today's sermon is Have Faith in God, Part 2. Can we say that together? Amen. So let's now go to Mark 11. I have a lot to say, but I don't have much time, so I have to compress it. Mark 11, verse 12 to 14. I'd like someone to read. Mark 11, 12 to 14. Yes? A reader? Mark 11, 12 to 14. Who would like to read? The sermon here is interactive, as usual. Mark 11, 12 to 14. Tell us which version, please.
It's NLT. Mark 11, 12 to 14. The next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were no only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." And the disciples heard him say it.
Amen. Amen. Yes, another version. That was NLT. What's one more version? Mark 11, 12 to 14. Yes. Please listen. Listen.
New King James?
Yes, please.
Now the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. He came to it, and he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to him, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it.
And his disciples heard it. So we did it last week. Just I want to do a bit of top up on this. Just to remind us again the main element. Because why I'm repeating this is that the Holy Spirit wants me. What the dimension I went last week was correct, but there's still a bigger dimension which I need to emphasize. Why did Jesus curse the fig tree in Mark 11, 12 to 14? What was his offense? Yes? What was the offense of this fig tree? This innocent, in quote. Yeah? You know, sometimes you think that animals are innocent and plants are even more innocent. But Jesus did not see it that way. Amen? He did not let this tree go by. Yeah? Why? What was his offense?
Jesus had expectations that was not met.
He let Jesus down. It's not my perfect answer, but I wanted to emphasize that. You know, I was saying last week, you know, that the song Jireh, which is a good song, you know, whenever we are singing it, that line, I don't sing "let you," I say "let me," "let you go." See, there's nothing you can do to let God go. Amen? He's always going to be there. Amen? But there are many things you can do to let him down. Amen? The tree let Jesus down. Amen? So when you're singing that song, don't say, "There's nothing I can do to let you down." There are many things you can do. You can let him down. But there's nothing you can do to let him go. Even when you let him down, he's still there. Amen? He's still there. He still has open arms. Ready to welcome you back like the prodigal son. Amen? So Jesus had expectations that were not met by this fig tree. Yes? We're still looking at the answer. I'm looking for a main answer. What was the offense of the fig tree that earned it a curse? Let's change direction. So that they won't think that we are... I'm being partial.
I think he says he noticed a fig tree in full leaf.
Mm-hmm.
A little way off. It was in full leaf. And it when it's in full leaf, it means there's fruit and it's producing, it's sumptuous. And when he went there was no fruit. So it was a kind of deception.
Okay.
And I think God is totally... When you talk about deception, that he doesn't like it.
Amen.
And he will actually... Like when Peter cursed the man that was trying to deceive when he was preaching on the spot, he said, you know, perverter. Even Paul, the one that was bad Jesus, he quickly took care of it. So,
amen.
If he said three or anything, I think Jesus will really take care of it.
Amen. You know, the beautiful thing that, you know, these two answers, we were not here last week, and they just re-echoed some of the things we said. There was deception. Yeah? The tree was practicing what? Deception. And we reminded you last week that who is the father of lies? It's Satan. Hallelujah. And what did Jesus call him? He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." So Jesus does not want us to operate or live in deception. Yes, that's not my perfect answer, but that is a valid answer, those two. Yes, but still, what was his main offense that ended what? Because actually, the final answer is the simplest of them. Yes, sir.
Because it was barren.
Because it was barren. But I'll change that word so that you don't get it confused. Because it was fruitless. Amen? He was not producing fruit. Amen? It got a curse because it was not what? Producing fruit. The master. Some say, they say the master. See, Jesus is not just your body. He is your master. Hallelujah. He expects fruit from you. And we are not producing fruit. You are letting him down. You have something to say, sir? Let's allow that comment before we move on.
I have a question, actually. Okay. Which is called, in there, he has written there, and he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for the figs. So how can you elaborate that? It was not the season for the figs.
Yes. The key to the answer is that fig trees are sort of trees that when they produce leaves, they also produce fruit. In fact, if you study about the fig tree, you say some fig trees, their fruit comes out before their leaves. Yeah? And others, they come out together. Yeah? Now, let me interpret it for you as a Christian. There are Christians that you have the form. You carry the performance, the likeness. Everybody thinks you are good, you're spiritual, but you're empty. You're empty. You have the music. You have the dressing. You have the decoration and the makeup. But you're spiritually what? Empty. It was in fact, the real offense is that it was in leaf. Two offenses. It was fruitless, but it was in leaf. Because if it was not in leaf, it will not get the curse. Because Jesus will not approach it. Question. I'm still, there's another question. Yes, sir.
All right. Some time ago, I remember I was sharing on this scripture, but it was in terms of giving, to say the leaf that was blossoming, it also represents some deception in terms of sometimes we have some maybe events where you say, brethren, is anyone who has got a pledge, and people will actually pledge and say, I'll do this, and then you don't do it. And say, the court takes it seriously. You rather, actually the Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's better not to vow than to vow and not do it. And then I also explained on the fact that when we talk about the fig tree being cursed because it was not yet the time, I was also approaching it from the angle that God expects you to be fruitful in season and out of season. He expects something from you. You cannot say, I'm not going to give anything to God now because I'm not working. I'm not going to give anything because it's not yet season. I'm waiting to be rich. I'm waiting to be blessed before. So whether it's in season or out of season, you are expected. Actually, God expects something from you.
Amen. Hallelujah. There's a Bible verse that says, be instant or be constant in season and out of season. It was Paul writing to Timothy. You can check that on Google if you want. Amen. God expects you to be fruitful. Amen? God expects you what? To be fruitful. Or more particularly, Jesus, your Lord. Unless you are not born again. If you are not born again, yeah? You can be excused today, but not forever. Amen? But if you are born again, Jesus is your Lord. He's your master. Say Jesus. It's my master. And I hope that means something to you. Because if he doesn't, they need to ask us whether you're born again. Amen? He expects fruit from you. Amen? Someone said, you know, someone pledged to do something because it was in the eye of the public. But they never performed it. It's like being in leaf and not in fruit. Amen? Let me just dig it here because this will almost speak to before I go back to faith. And I will show you that this story is connected to faith. This is what I'm about to show you before. You see, normally, there's a way we teach the Bible. And you can get to teaching the Bible the way you've always had it taught. And you miss some other meaning. For example, at Friday Bible study, we look at the prodigal son. And that story opened up to me in a different way. Because the topic on Friday was godly discipline. And you see, the prodigal son, yeah, he left home because he didn't want the discipline of the father. He wanted to be free to do as he liked. That's the issue. He wanted to be free to party and be lazy and just enjoy. Whereas the older son stayed back under the discipline of the father. If you study that story, when the younger son came, what annoyed the elder son said that all these years I've been with you, you didn't give me even a young goat, yeah, to party with my friends. And I think there's a misinterpretation because in the prosperity gospel you interpret that, oh, it's because he didn't ask his father. Who told you? The Bible did not say that. And now seeing that, actually, he could have asked and said, no, there's no room for party. Amen? Why? We are saving up an inheritance. Amen? That's why the father reminded, he said, the inheritance. All that I have is what? Yes, that's your reward. That's your reward. Amen? Sometimes you're laboring for God and it looks like there's no immediate reward. But he's saving it up. It will happen. Hebrews 6:10. It says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love. Hallelujah. He may not spoil you, yeah, with parties immediately. But after the prodigal has finished all their resources, yeah, the whole inheritance will still be yours because you were faithful. Hallelujah. You were faithful. Hallelujah. You will laugh last. Amen. The fact that we are throwing a party for this rebellious son does not reduce your own inheritance. All I have is what? Yours. We're just celebrating that this boy was dead and is now alive again. We are celebrating that this boy was lost, but is now what? Found. That's a good reason for party. Not just messing around with your friends. Is that father will not throw a party just to have a good time for friends. But we throw a party because his soul is restored. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, coming back to fruitfulness, you have to answer that question that you have to say, am I fruitful for Jesus? Let's stay there a bit before I go on. Because I'm talking about faith. And I will talk about faith because I'm already talking about faith, though you don't recognize it, but I'll show you. Am I fruitful for Jesus? I must ask myself that question. Because Jesus reveals something to us about what he wants. And innocent, well, it's not innocent, we know, but I'm saying it that way. An innocent fig tree. He caused it. He didn't let it go scot-free. Why couldn't Jesus just leave it? Okay, fine. It's not the end of the day. If that happened today, people will say, oh, Jesus, it's not that deep. It's only a tree. Yeah? Move on. Find another one. But no! No! So, the way you can look at it, it looks outrageous. Why did he cause it? Because he was hungry. He approached the tree for fruit, and he found what? Nothing. Amen. Please turn to your neighbor, ask them a question. Say, are you fruitful? For Jesus. Hallelujah. You have to examine yourself. Fruitfulness can be measured. If I don't teach it well, I didn't teach you. Even that can be measured. Amen? Your fruitfulness for Jesus is measured in your commitment. Hello? I want to make some big statement here. You cannot be faithful without being committed. Now, apply that to your marriage or your relationship. Amen? Hallelujah? Hallelujah? Intimacy is the reward of commitment. Amen? Hallelujah? You can't be faithful if you are not what? Committed. Are you protesting? Hallelujah. You cannot be faithful if you are not what? Committed. And unfaithfulness in marriage or in relationship is not just about adultery. It's just the final, one of the final evidences. Unfaithfulness starts when you start treating that person, yeah, worse than you would treat yourself. Amen? What you can't take, you are giving. Hello, sir. What you can't take, you are what? Giving. You are treating them as you will not like to be treated. That's unfaithfulness. It's unfaithfulness. Amen? It's what? Unfaithfulness. That's why you can't be faithful if you are not committed. You commit. Yeah? Hallelujah. That's why I thought that God is very wise. He made sure that children are produced by two people, not one. Amen? So that then you get angry with your spouse, you remember the child. So if something happens to this person, if you affect this child, hallelujah, commitment produces faithfulness. They are the same word. Hallelujah. So you are not faithful to Jesus if you are not committed to Jesus. Listen to your neighbor, tell them, say, you are not faithful to Jesus if you are not committed to Jesus. Now, I know what they will tell you. They will tell you that I'm committed to Jesus. So we can, let's measure it. Amen. Are you committed to Jesus? I would like to believe so. But we can measure it. Because if I didn't measure, I'm not a good teacher. Amen? Where is Jesus right now? Where is Jesus? Do you know where Jesus is? He's seated. Where? At the right hand of the Father. He's waiting. What's he waiting for? When he will come back to judge and take over. Amen? What a glorious day that will be. Amen? That is the day when the problems of the world will finally be solved. Till now, we're just continuing to go, going around the, you know, around the circles. Hallelujah. So Jesus is up there. So how can I measure my commitment to Jesus that is up there in heaven? Yeah? He has a body on the earth. Jesus is the head. The church is the body of Christ. What is the church? So if I want to measure my commitment to the head, how do I measure it? I measure my commitment to what? His body. Amen. Your commitment to Jesus or your faithfulness to Jesus is measured by your commitment to the church. Are you with me? I just want you to measure. You have to. It's important. Your commitment to the church is a reflection of your commitment to Jesus. Because the church is the body of Christ. And you, the head functions through the body. You have everything going on in your head now, yeah? If you're going to put it into action, you need your body. Amen? A headless body is not much use. It can't even head the ball into the post. Yeah? Do you agree? Why? You need the body to... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Commitment equals faithfulness. Hallelujah. If you increase your commitment, you are increasing your faithfulness. Please turn to your neighbor and say, when you increase your commitment, in any aspect of your life, you are increasing your faithfulness. And the question is, what does this all have to do with faith? Yeah? You see, if you are not faithful, you cannot be fruitful. Amen? The reason why the tree is caused is that you took the resources, but you did not produce what? The fruit. We invested in you! But you did nothing. You didn't show up. That's what? Fruitlessness. That's the same. He's not innocent. He took the resources, but all he produced was what? Leaves. You know the worst thing about the tree on these leaves is that you can feel good about yourself. Sir, I'm a beautiful tree. Yeah? My leaves are beautiful. But what the master is not looking for leaves. What is he looking for? He's looking for fruit. Hallelujah. Open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And we're still talking about our faith in God. Because after all, it came from this chapter. Hebrews chapter 6. And somebody help me to read verse 7 and 8. Someone who has not read in church today. Hebrews 6, 7 and 8. If you've not read in church today, you are qualified. Hebrews 6, 7 and 8. Tell us which version. Hebrews 6, 7 and 8. Please listen to this verse. Hebrews 6, 7 and 8.
King James.
Yes.
For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned.
Amen. Another verse, thank you, sir. Another version, Hebrews 6, 7 and 8.
Reading from the ESV version. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned.
Amen. You see the importance of fruitfulness, that God has been investing in you. Amen. Someone say, what's the proof? The mere fact that you're alive. Yeah? Hallelujah. He's kept you all these years. Amen. Despite all your shortcomings. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're like me, that you can remember some time in your life when something hit you and that thing could have destroyed you. Yeah? Just a little bit more. You're finished. Yeah? But one way or the other, miraculously, in a way beyond what you understand, God stepped in. Yeah? And you are still ticking today. Amen? Some of you are doing very well financially, but there was a time that something twisted. And if not for God, that would have ruined you financially. But God found a way to step in and did not allow. Some of us here, you've fallen into a situation or a relationship or an encounter that if you went a little further, everything good about you today will have been ruined. Ruined. Are you with me? But God stepped in and did not allow that to happen. Amen. That's God investing in you. Because he wants fruit from you. Hallelujah. He wants fruit from you. Hallelujah. He wants fruit. So, unfruitfulness, yeah, is a product of unfaithfulness. To be unfaithful means that you took the resources, you consumed it, but you did not produce. Amen. It's like what I always tell my sons. I say, you cannot just be a consumer in this house. You consume the Wi-Fi. You consume the bread, cheese, and ham. Electricity, you consume. Plates, cups, consume. Bed, pillow, clothing, consume. Then you do nothing. Hallelujah. Amen? You have to produce. Be there. How do you produce in the church? It's not difficult. It's fellowship and service. Fellowship and what? Service. Come to church. Jesus said, I will build my church. You can't do better. God already put you the way to work. Amen? The way to work is that he will build what? His church. The best way for you to flourish as a believer is that you are coming to church. Come to church. It's so simple. Amen? Don't just come to church on Sunday. Come to Bible study. This was in the book of Acts. They were there. They were there. They met daily even. Amen? Come to prayer meeting. I don't understand. I don't understand believers. What are you doing during prayer meeting? You're watching TV, football, or movie. Yeah? And you're feeling good about the leaves. What about the fruit? Hallelujah. We can go out there and perform and put on some form and preach a nice man and show that you know the Bible. That's not what we're looking for. Amen? We're not looking for whether you know the Bible. We want you to live the life. Don't just tell me that you show me that you know the Bible. Live it out. Live it out. Live it. Yeah? Be proud to say to someone that this is my life. Someone said in my hearing in the past, football is my life. Ah, I said you missed it. You know? Yeah? The word is my life. I am living it. It also belongs to you. That's what you are called to be. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're going to dress up and look very nice. So to show them that our God is not a poor God. That's leaves. You know why? Unbelievers can do that. Anything that is fruit is something an unbeliever cannot produce. Because they don't have the life. Amen? Follow what I'm trying to explain to you. Anything that is fruit, an unbeliever cannot produce it because they don't have the Zoe. Amen? The life of God. So they can't. Hallelujah? Anything that an unbeliever can produce is not fruit, it's leaves. Amen? But the fruit is a product of the life of God in you. Amen? For example, we call for evangelism. That's an opportunity to bear what? Fruit. Hallelujah. An unbeliever does not want to do evangelism. If you call an unbeliever to go and do evangelism, you know what they will do? Publicity. Hallelujah. Because they don't have the life. Are you with me? Come to prayer meeting. Come to evangelism. Come to Bible study. That is commitment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Let me make one more statement before we're going to faith now. Now, unfaithfulness is an expression of faithlessness. Let me explain that to you. If someone is unfaithful to you, they've lost faith in you. Hallelujah. Because they have faith in you, they will put you first. They will consider your interest. They will consider your feelings. They will consider everything first. When they stop considering your interest and your feelings, they are losing faith in you. Hallelujah. And that's why they are becoming what? Unfaithful. So when you are unfaithful to Jesus, as I've explained to you now, your faith in Jesus is little. You know what? It doesn't matter what you say. I've given you the mathematics. Your faith is little. That's why Jesus many times he told his disciples, you know, when they were still coming up, he said, oh, you have little faith. Hallelujah. As your faith in Jesus increase, so does your commitment increase. Because faith without corresponding actions is dead. It's dead. It didn't exist. Okay, it existed, but it died. You know faith can die? Any living thing can die. Love can die. Faith can die. How does faith die? Stop nurturing it. How does love die? Stop nurturing it. Hallelujah. Or another way of saying that, love dies when you adulterate it with some other love. Faith dies when you adulterate it. I was looking at the story of when Jesus talked about casting out the demons and the disciples could not cast out demons. And he said, why could we not cast out this demon? He says, because of your unbelief. And I'm asking myself, what is unbelief? What is unbelief? I said, Holy Spirit, help me. Yeah? Holy Spirit, help me. Then he takes me back and said, the first comment of Jesus was that, oh, you faithless and perverse generation. Now, if he just said only, oh, you faithless, I would say unbelief is faithlessness. But that's not only definition of unbelief. Unbelief is not just faithlessness. Unbelief is corrupted faith. Because generation is not just faithless, it's also what? Perverse. When your faith is corrupted, it's no longer pure. Yeah? It's called what? Unbelief. It's like you have mixed your faith now, yeah, with faithlessness. You have mixed your faith with doubt. You have mixed your faith with some contrary faith. Not all faith is God's faith. Faith in God, yeah, is based on the word of God. But you can have faith in some other things. For example, one of the things that causes our faithlessness or our lack of commitment is our commitment to our tribal interest. Let me see what I'm doing with that. Let me explain that statement. Your tribal what? Interest. Let me explain the tribe so you understand the tribe. So it's not an ethnic war. Yeah? Your friends, your work colleague are holding, organizing a, what? Tell me what they can organize. A party, a get together, a living do, a what else did they organize? Sorry? They set a time, they set a venue. Because they're your work colleagues, you can't get there late. Because they're your work colleagues, you can't but not go. That's a tribe. But when it comes to church, you won't come or you come late. Because what? The church is not your tribe. You see, that's a tribal interest. Hallelujah. You go to a place where you feel affirmed and where you enjoy the company. So you are ready to go the extra mile to do things for God in that setting. But in the normal setting, this is the normal setting. Because you have many different types of people. Some look like you, some they don't look like you. But it's still the church of God. And this is the place where you live. You don't commit here. That's a tribal interest. And you know what Jesus said? He said, you already have your reward. You don't have any other reward from me. He says so. He said, if you are giving, for example, and you then go and blow a trumpet, yeah? And everybody, call everybody's attention that I'm about, the generous man is about to give. You see, that passage is not just about hiding the money you want to put in the offering. No, that's not what you're talking about. He's not saying that when you come to church, make sure you hide. Did he, was that passage about church? No, he said in public, on the street. He says, oh, if I'm coming to church, I don't want anybody to see what I'm giving. No, that's not what he's talking about. This is the house of God. Amen? On the street. The reason why they are on the street, by the way, today includes Facebook and TikTok. Amen? What you can do in public so that others will praise you. The Bible says when you do that, you already have what? Your reward. Mean that God is not going to give you any reward. The one you get is the affirmation you got from your tribe. Hallelujah. But let's look beyond that tribe and see the kingdom. I'm talking about faith. Your faith in God. Yeah? Moves you to do things for God. Hallelujah. Because you can see God. Let's open to Hebrews 11:6. Our faith in God. So you can see there's faithlessness in the story of the fig tree. When you are faithless, you'll be unfaithful. When you're unfaithful, you'll be unfruitful. It will happen. When your faith dwindles, you know, sometimes, you know, some time ago, months and years, you know, someone left the church. And it hurt me. It's always going to hurt you. There's nothing you can do. You know. When you've worked with people and you've invested in people and they let you down, you will feel let down. It's okay. That's human. God knows you are let down, but it's part of your training. to know how to be let down. Amen? After I thought about it, turned it over in my mind, I just thought, you know what? They lost faith in me. Yeah? Okay. They forgot everything they benefited. They forgot all the progress they made. All the breakthroughs that God did in their lives. How they grew spiritually. They just reached a point whereby I don't know what caused it, but they lost faith. And when someone loses faith in you, what are they going to do? They're going to be unfaithful. They're going to let you down. Amen? Hebrews 11:6. Let's finish on that note. Hebrews 11:6. Just a minute. This is popular verse. I just want to show you something about it. Hebrews 11:6.
I'm using the easy to read version.
Okay, so the easy to read version. That one raises a red flag. Because Jesus said the way to life is difficult. And there are only few that find it. But we will permit it, but just remember that. The only thing that Jesus told you that is, let me tell you the only thing Jesus told you that is easy. He said, my yoke is easy. Please, don't explain. What's the meaning of yoke? Just a minute. Yeah. The only thing Jesus said is easy is his yoke. But what's the meaning of yoke? Y-O-K-E. Oh, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But what's the meaning of yoke and burden originally? Yeah? Yoke.
It's the means to carry a load.
You following? And burden, what do you mean of burden? Burden, when you say something is a burden. So that's the only one that is easy. The one that is easy is also a burden. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are you following the paradox? The one he told you that is easy is his yoke. So it's still a yoke. Anyway, let's be gracious. Hebrews 11:6.
Without faith, no one can please God.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever comes to God must believe that he is real,
mm-hmm,
and that he rewards those who sincerely try to find him.
Amen. Now, you know what? Let's clap up, but that version is good enough there. And I will stay there. I won't take any other more. Let me explain faith to you. Faith is your ability to see God. And that God is real. If you are the ability to see the reality of God in your situation and in your life is faith. The moment you're no longer seeing the reality of God, you're not in faith. Why are you doing what you're doing? Can you see God? For example, like in this church now, and your engagement with this church, can you see God? Or what are you seeing? You're seeing your bank account. You're seeing your future plans. Your business plan. You're seeing what people think about you, what people say. You're considering all your tribes. I know your tribe has in. Some people's tribe is their family. They will go all the extra distance and mile for their family. They can travel for hours. I'm not joking. They wake up, 6 a.m. They want to attend a service in Manchester. Yeah, because their sister is doing what? A Thanksgiving. They travel 4 hours. To Manchester. They'll be there on time. So that they can do the procession. It will not bother them. They're not going to break a sweat. They're happy. It's their tribe. The picture session, they must not miss it. Yeah? The food and drink. They will invest money in expensive clothes. To make sure that this service, which is unto the Lord, is successful. Yeah? And they will drive back and get home at night. No complaint. When they land the bed, they will now start scrolling all the selfies. Yes. No complaint. Next Sunday, sister, please, can you come to church on time? I'm sorry. I'm tired. You know what happened? They saw family, they didn't see God. It's faithlessness. When you see God. Like, you know Joseph. Joseph was in a strange land. He has been disappointed. He has been let down by his family. Yeah? He had every reason to just misbehave. After all, What's all about? He had even every reason to say he's going to be angry with God. You showed me a dream that I'm going to, you know, shine above my brother. See me here. He had every reason. He was presented with a golden opportunity of temptation. Yeah. The woman will tell you, like, look, when we start this thing, for the next 10 years, you'll just be enjoying. Nobody will know. And I'll be putting good words for you. They'll be promoting you. Yeah? Everything was golden. The only thing that stopped Jesus is, how can I do this? Yeah? And sin again. God. It's all God. That's faith. Faith is ability to see God in your situation. Whether it's positive or negative, I can see God. That's the first lesson of faith. It's faith 101. God is real. Not just God is real up there. God is real right here. When I'm in my home and I'm being provoked, yeah, by an argument. You know, human beings can argue. You know the reason why human beings argue? Let me tell you the reason. Your brain, yeah, was put inside two heads. Not one. You said the two are one, yeah? But God allowed the two brains to be in two heads. Yet he said they are one. You know, if it's just one brain, you won't argue. Hallelujah. So the argument is not a new thing. But the issue is that you're not going to allow Satan to come and have a party in your house. Amen? So, when the argument wants to go beyond just normal discussion, see God. See God. See God and back off. See God and what? Back off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is faith. You can see God. When you're in a challenging situation, see God. Yeah? Everything says that nothing will work. But see God. See, this situation, yeah? It, with men, it is impossible. That's certified. But I know that God is able. And I'm just going to persevere and stay there until God shows up. Hallelujah. The Bible's second lesson of faith is that he who comes to God, first lesson is that must believe that he is, or he is real. He is for real. He is for real. He is tangible. He is here right now. Second lesson is that, and he is what? A rewarder of those. What? It's not just those who seek him. It's those who diligence. Let me tell you, the principle of diligence is that you have to apply yourself and you have to persevere. Let's rise up. Let me stop you there. I don't know if I've spoken to your heart today. I've not fully followed my script, but that's not the important thing. The important thing is, has the Holy Spirit spoken to you what you need? And I know because, you know, there's variety. There must be some specific words that apply to you that may not apply to someone else in the way it applies to you. Reflect on what God has spoken to you today. And the way is, when you hear the word of God, you can't go back and just remain the same. It's like somebody who went to a mirror and forgot what they look like. No. When you go to a mirror, you see what you look like. If there's things you don't like, you make the adjustment. You make the adjustment. You make the adjustment. That's what the word of God does in your life. It's like it's a sharp knife that goes to cut between your soul and your spirit, cutting out the things that should not be there and shaping the things that should be, so that you can be thoroughly furnished and fruitful. If you don't allow the word of God to change you, you will not be fruitful. Pray to God and say, Lord God Almighty, I want to be fruitful for you. And I know to be fruitful means that I'm being faithful. You see, if you are faithful, you will definitely be fruitful. And if you are unfaithful, you will definitely not be fruitful. The best you can bear is leaves. Pray and say, Lord, I want to be fruitful. And as a result, I know that there's only one pathway to fruitfulness. To be faithful. Now, I've understood today also that to be faithful means to be committed. They are the same word. To be faithful means what? To be committed. And to be committed to Jesus means to be committed to his church. Because the church is the body of Christ. There's no other body. So Lord, I want to be faithful. And that means as from today, I want to be more committed to the church. There is no other body. There is no other body. Your tribe will never substitute the church. They are going to pray and say, Lord, I understand that to be faithful, to be unfaithful, is a symptom of faithlessness or unbelief, corrupted faith. Anywhere you are not committed to, you don't believe in that place. When you start believing, you will start committing. Anyone you are not committed to, you don't believe in them. When you start believing, you will start committing. I want you to just talk to God and repent of any unfaithfulness in your life. You know, the Bible talks about the beauty of holiness. And sometimes people are afraid of holiness. You see, for something to be pure, clean, it's beautiful. No adulteration, no corruption, just pure, clean, like a brand new baby, fresh. Pray and say, Lord, I embrace that beauty of holiness. And in that beauty of holiness, there is faithfulness. That's why the Bible said, Jesus, his name is called Faithful and True. I want to be faithful. I want to be fruitful. I want to be committed. I'll show you one thing. You can never be fruitful for Jesus if you're not going to be committed. Thank you, Lord. Help us, all of us here. Ignite us with your fire. Let our hearts be ignited with fire. There are some of you here, you've been a Christian for a long time. It's like you've seen it all. Now you want to relax and be cold. Jesus said, if you do that, you're like the Ephesian church. Your love for God has died down. So he said, what? I will remove your lamp. That means he's not happy. He doesn't want you to be cold. There's never a time in your spiritual life that you should be cold. Hallelujah. Never, ever. Even that older son. Never. He said, all I have is yours. It's not in vain. Keep going. You were on the right path. You don't do anything wrong. There's nothing to regret. Pray and say, Lord, I don't want to be cold spiritually. I want to be on fire. Your love for Jesus will burn. Amen? It should be born. That part is not about love for people. It's talking about love for God. Because your love for people is an overflow of your love for God. The first love is dealing with the head. Say, Lord, I want to be on fire. I want to be fervent in spirit. I want to be yielded to fellowship and to service. I want to be useful for the kingdom. All my talents, I want them to be. Everybody has talent. Some just have more than others. Everybody's talent is important. I'm telling you, anybody that God brought in this world, he gave you a gift. And the church, the body of Christ needs your gift. Your uniqueness makes you special. Hallelujah. What you have in you will make a difference. Hallelujah. You are not useless. Say to yourself, I'm not useless. Hallelujah. You're not. You're never, never, ever, ever. All the experience you've had in your life, God can transform it into something very useful for his kingdom. Pray and say, Lord, use me for your glory. You know, some of you, Holy Spirit is telling me, some of you, you know, you think, oh, I'm in a foreign country. And you think that your mission in this country is just economic. And yet, 20 years of your life will go by like that. Some of you here, you don't know that you may even live the rest of your life in this country. You didn't plan it, but it can happen. Hallelujah. So this is your life. That's what I'm saying. This is your life. So if you're going to serve God, you're going to have to serve God right here and right now. Pray to God and say, Lord, I'm not on a holiday. Hallelujah. This is my life. And I want to live it for you. Help me to be faithful. And it says, have faith in God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We pray that, Lord, you will stir up in our hearts fire. A passion for your name. A passion for your kingdom. A passion for your righteousness. A passion for the gospel. A passion for lost souls. A passion for people who are suffering, are lost, are vulnerable. A passion for people who don't know God. A passion for the advancement of the kingdom. Stir it up in our hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed.